Today, Rearview Mirror still shows rising inequality across Australia. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. The DFA services have been tracking the rising pressure on households thanks to inflationary pressures on the cost of living, higher mortgage and rental payments, and static or falling real incomes, which of course are not expected to catch up with past peaks for years yet. Our latest release to the end of February 2025 is out, and I'll make a show on this shortly, as well as covering the postcode level analysis on my Tuesday live stream next week. One of the points in our analysis is the rising levels of financial pressure for some households, while others are doing just fine, thank you, with net wealth rising from home price growth and other investments, thanks to recent stock market rises. Actually, roughly one in three households are in financial clover, a third are hanging on just, but about a third are continuing to fall behind and getting into deeper financial doo-doo. But now the mother of all household surveys, the Household Income and Labour Dynamics in Australia survey, has been released. They reported that financial inequality in Australia is at its highest since 2001, just as young people find themselves shut out of the housing market. And the report says there was a fall in home ownership between 2002 and 2018, but home debt across all households rose in a, quote, sustained fashion regardless. And things are getting harder for single parents who have seen a 76% increase in childcare costs per child since 2006. And more than half, actually 51.2% of respondents, say their real income decreased between 2021 and 2022. Now, the HILDA survey has been following the same people every year since 2001, which makes it possible to examine how the lives of Australians have changed across several aspects. It covers around 17,000 Australians due to the expansion of participants' families. It's funded by the Australian government and managed by the Melbourne Institute. And the survey is one of Australia's most featured social research tools and is often quoted for example, the RBA in support of the view that households are coping with the current levels of financial stress. Now they've released their 19th annual report with data from 2001 to 2022 called Wave 22. Wait, you say? Surely. Aren't we in 2025? So is this really relevant? Well, this is, of course, one of my bugbears about the HILDA reports. They're so lagged as to be seriously potentially misleading. Actually, they even have a box about the timing of the report, which shows how key measures of the cost of living have evolved since the December quarter of 2019. And they say, while the consumer price index increased considerably in the first three quarters of 2022, that's prior to when most of the interviews were conducted in Wave 22, much of the total surge in consumer prices occurred in subsequent quarters. And moreover, rent price increases have mostly occurred after the Wave 2022 interviews were conducted. The Reserve Bank of Australia's cash rate target is the primary determinant of mortgage interest rates, they say. It increased considerably in the months leading up to the Wave 2022 interviews, although, similar to the Consumer Price Index, nearly half the total increase has occurred since then. And they note that increases in the cash rate can take several months to translate to increased minimum mortgage repayments, so that even for the rate rises prior to the Wave 2022 interviews, the effect of those with variable interest rate loans will not have been fully felt by the time of the Wave 2022 interviews. Also important in evaluating the effects of the increase in the cash rate is your share of home debt subject to a fixed interest rate. Fixed interest rates on mortgages were generally considered lower than variable rates in the second half of 2022. In fact, the RBA in 2023 reported that the proportion of outstanding home debt subject to a fixed interest rate peaked at around 37% in early 2022 and was still at approximately 30% at the end of 2022. By comparison, in the lead up to the arrival of the COVID-19 pandemic, less than 20% of home loan debt was subject to fixed rate interest. And of course, we know that more recently, more households have moved to a variable rate. So the conclusion we've got to have here is that whilst the information is interesting, it's not totally up to date. And therefore, we should be cautious about drawing positive conclusions from information that is as partial as it is. So the latest, if outdated, results from Wave 2022 does show that since COVID-era financial support ended, income inequality has risen substantially. The increase in inequality stems from growth in high incomes as compared to middle incomes, as well as a fall in the growth of lower incomes relative to middle incomes, they said. This means relative to the median earner, Australians already earning a high income have seen the growth of their incomes rise, but in contrast, Australians with low incomes have seen a decrease in the rate of growth in their incomes. Actually, between 2021 and 2022, 51.2% of respondents reported their real incomes have declined. This is up from about 41% in the preceding years, suggesting a decrease in people's purchasing power. And they use a technical measure called the Gini coefficient, and it was 0.32 in 2022. That's the highest since they started the survey in 2001. The measure ranges from 0 to 1 and is an index that measures overall inequality, with higher scores suggesting greater income inequality. Over the same period, household wealth, though, has continued to grow, but there are large and growing age differences in the growth of household wealth. For young people aged between 18 and 34, net wealth rose by 72.4% to $238,942 over the 20 years to 2022. But for older Australians aged 65 to 74, net household wealth jumped by 125% to about $1.26 million. These age disparities in household wealth are partially explained by rates of home ownership, which are much higher among older Australians. Home ownership is also the most important asset component in terms of total wealth. In 2022, almost 65% of households owned their home, and just over 20% of households held investment properties and holiday homes. As a proportion of total wealth, the family home accounts for 44.5% and investment properties account for 14.9%. Now, elsewhere, respondents were asked if a weather-related disaster such as floods, bushfires or cyclones had damaged or destroyed their homes in the past 12 months. In 2022, 4.5% reported experiencing such an event. This is a substantial increase from the year before, when only 1.3% of Australians reported weather-related home damage, and exceeds the previous peak of 2.7% in 2011. I guess if you were to run that survey for 2025, the count will be even higher based on the current issues around a certain cyclone. There are also regional differences, they said, closely corresponding with the timing of specific floods or bushfires in the states and territories. In 2022, 9% of New South Wales residents and 6% of Queensland reported home damage. That's consistent with major floods experienced in those regions in the months prior to the survey. And among all Australians who in 2022 reported home damage due to a weather-related disaster, 62.5% were in New South Wales and 27.3% were in Queensland. With the current Cyclone Alfred forecast to hit Queensland and New South Wales at the end of the week, we can expect a further significant increase in reported home damage. And here's another insight. Australian women still undertake the majority of housework, whereas men's share of housework has remained consistent over the last 20 years. Women's time spent on housework, such as cleaning, cooking, running errands, has fallen slightly from 23.8 hours per week in 2002 to 18.4 hours per week in 2022. But men spent 12.8 hours per week on housework, precisely the same amount as they did 20 years earlier. Thus, women are still doing close to 50% more housework than men are. Men have increased the time they spend on caring responsibilities, such as playing with their children, helping with homework, caring for an elderly relative, etc., from 5 hours a week in 2002 to 5.5 hours per week in 2022. But the time women spent on care rose from 10.1 hours per week to 10.7 hours per week over the same period. And in fact, in 2022, women spent almost double the time on care duties compared with men. Among couples, men are generally more satisfied than women with the current division of unpaid work. Surprising that. Most women feel they do more than their fair share at home, while men tend to believe they share the housework and care fairly with their partner. In another concerning result, the risk of problem gambling is increasing, with 12.9% of surveyed men classified as at-risk gamblers, defined as causing negative consequences and a possible loss of control. That was up from 10.3% in 2015. In 2015, 5.7% of women identified at least one harmful consequence of the gambling, whereas in 2022, 6.4% of women did so. And there was also a 66% increase in the proportion of men who bet on sports in the 7 years from 2015 to 2022, the report found. Few people in Australia, though, are using poker machines, but those who were are spending significantly more than they were 7 years ago, with women spending more than men. Women spent on average around $284 a month gambling on poker machines, with men spending $208. So all up, the Hilda data does confirm some of the trends from our surveys, but frankly, the true impact won't be seen until future releases of their surveys because it's so lagged. But ahead of the upcoming election, it is important to recognise the rising disparity between those households under financial pressure and the rest of the community. Unfortunately, politicians tend to be in the do-well category from property portfolio or other investments, not to mention any specific members, of course, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. But the social consequences of this inequality and the financial pressure on a considerably larger proportion of households, particularly younger households, should and will have significant consequences downstream, whether it's more family violence, whether it's more crime, or just more financial pressure. And I am concerned that the current election cycle isn't likely to give sufficient weight to these really critical long-term social issues. So on one hand, whilst Hilda is out of date, the messages that they communicate are important, and I'd also say that they very much mesh in with findings from my own surveys, which of course are a whole lot more current. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.